And if you will join with me in this improbable quest, if you feel destiny calling and see as I see the future of endless possibilities stretching out before us, if you sense as I sense that the time is now to shake off our slumber and slough off our fears and make good on the debt we owe past and future generations, then I am ready to take up the cause and march with you and work with you today. Together, we can finish the work that needs to be done and usher in a new birth of freedom on this earth. Thank you very much, everybody. Let's get to work. I love you. Thank you.
9 years ago in Springfield, it was about 9 degrees. It's about 9 degrees now. I don't think it's going to warm up that much today either. Valerie Jarrett, senior White House advisor to the president at VJ44 on social media. Good morning, Ms. Jarrett. And wouldn't you want to come in, say, in May or June when it's nicer?
No. Are you kidding? We're going to return to the same climate that we experienced 9 years ago today. I am so excited about returning with the president to Springfield. When you played that tape, it gave me chills just remembering what a wonderful occasion it was. It was cold, but our hearts were warm.
No, and I'm time flies and all that. I'm going to put you on hold 1 second because you have a terrible phone line. See if we can get a quick redial there from the White House because that's got some crazy buzz in the line. But can you imagine? Can you imagine you start that in 2007, and then very quickly it's 9 years later, and now you're on your victory lap.
Can you believe it's been 9 years? I can't even. Wow, it just went so fast.
I remember that day.
Fast.
It was crazy cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's plenty cold today. The president comes in today, 9 years after announcing his candidacy. He will speak in the Senate chamber where his political career took off. And are we back? Okay. Let me go back to Ms. Jarrett now. Sorry about that. We just couldn't hear you very well.
No, I'm glad to be back. I was just saying how much we look forward to returning to the place where his political career began and the Illinois State Senate.
Now, here's a question that's come up, and you know this has come up several times today. Is there a hope that what he says today about unity and an extension of what he said at the State of the Union, even though obviously he's not going to sit down and negotiate with the two sides over this budget thing, but is there a hope it could shake something loose here?
Well, he hopes it'll set the tone not just for Springfield, but all across our country, all the way to Washington, D.C., where he remembers back in the day when you could work on both sides of the aisle in Springfield, and that's what he did in the state Senate, and that's what we should be doing. And in a sense, Illinois is a microcosm of our country, from the farmlands to the inner city, and so why can't that be the focus of people who are elected by the American people? They expect people to work together. They expect us to move our country forward. They expect that we're not going to put our short-term political interests ahead of what's good for them. And so the president will be really hearkening back to a time when our system worked a lot better than we're seeing it working today and encourage people to, work things out and remember that we're here to serve the people. And that's all of the people, not just those at the very top, but everybody. And he'll talk, we've got to get all of that money out of politics. We've got to make it easier for people to vote. Why are we seeing laws around the country that make it harder? And in Illinois, actually, in both the House and the Senate, you have bills pending that would have automatic voter registration. Doesn't that make sense? Why are we making it difficult for people to exercise their most important act of citizenship? So I think this is a message that the president hopes will be heard, not just in Springfield, but around the country.
The president spoke at the State of the Union with some, I don't know, self-awareness, maybe a measure of regret that he wasn't able to bring the two sides together as much.
Yeah.
Is there a, there's plenty to discuss in the White House every day, but is there a discussion ever about the mess we're in Illinois?
Well, certainly we're very concerned, and we see how so many people, particularly the people who most need government, are struggling and just expecting their government to work for them. So sure, we're concerned about Illinois. It's our home state. Chicago's our hometown. We see social services being cut. So of course we are concerned, but I also think that it's important for cities and states and rural communities around our country. The people who are elected need to remember that they're there to work on behalf of the people. And the people who need government most are suffering when there is a standstill.
Is the I love this city. You love this city. and we all want this city to thrive and prosper. Is there any part of the schedule today that includes the president having a chat with the mayor?
Not today. Today, we're after Springfield. He'll be with his former colleagues in the Senate, and he'll be with all of his colleagues from the House and the Senate. He'll be spending a lot of time with folks who he worked with very closely when he was in the state Senate. And then he's off to California, so he has a full action-packed day today. So Chicago's not on our stop today.
And is there any – I don't know how the protocol works here. Is there anything executive to executive where he spends time separately with the governor?
Today, he does not have any scheduled time separate one-on-one with the governor. I mean, obviously – the president's focus is on the broader message today. He is not in the business of negotiating individual state budgets. That is what the people of Illinois expect their elected representatives to do.
Yeah, we do too. We really wish it would work that way. Well, listen, I hope you brought a coat and a couple of pairs of gloves.
Well, you know I'm from Chicago, and I know how to dress, and I remember how cold I was that day 9 years ago. I'm going to try to stay bundled up. But again, our hearts are warm. I'm so proud of the president. I should mention that we took his speech from 9 years ago on this site, Genius, and I annotated the speech and outlined along each line in the speech where he made commitments of what he wanted to do and the progress we've made. So if your listeners are interested to see how far we've come in the 9 years to be consistent with what the president pledged he would do, I think they'll be interested in taking a look at the Genius site.
And what is that, genius.com?
Genius. You know, all those social networks are way beyond me, but I know all the young people look at it. So
yeah, well,
just look up Genius, and you'll see his remarks and my annotation to it.
Yeah, I just don't want you to end up at a bar at an Apple store.
Exactly. That would not be good either.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Jarrett. Travel safe.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you.
At VJ44 is Valerie Jarrett's social media connections. 7:42, the president speaks in Springfield today, 9 years to the day of when he announced his run for the White House. And most of us are confused as to, other than a legacy trip, other than doing the trip around the league and getting the rocking chairs and things on your retirement run, why would he do it? Let's see if we can get some perspective from Mark Guarino at Politico. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm good.
And we don't, you know, I spoke with Valerie Jarrett about a half an hour ago. We don't quite understand it. We don't quite understand why the president would want to be associated with the Yahoos in Springfield at this point.
You know what? I think that he's returning to a lot of the themes that he campaigned on. You know, the speeches of almost 9 years to the day of his famous speech announcing his candidacy, and he in that speech, you know, he really, it was very symbolic being right there in the state capitol, associated so much with Lincoln. So I think that inclusiveness that he really and hope and change that he really built his campaign on, you know, where else bring it, you know, where else to do it but in a place that's just known for, you know, even more gridlock and divisiveness. So I think that maybe you know, he can be seen as sort of like inspirational in a place that's not having a lot of inspiration these days.
Is there any pushback, because you know this state, you write about this state, you write about Illinois, is there any pushback, you know, behind closed doors from the Madigan faction prior to this being agreed upon to have him come back?
I'm not really seeing that. I think that, you know, the president's always been popular in the state, and I think having him makes a lot of Democrats here look really good. Actually, he'll be, Tammy Duckworth will be at his side. She's traveling. She's going to be in Air Force One, actually, with him. And, it's interesting. The one thing that I didn't expect to see is Governor Rauner is making comments, you know, suggesting that the president will be at his side of things, saying that they actually have more agreements than disagreements. So I'm seeing a little bit of jockeying on both sides here, perhaps, of just kind of courting Obama's, courting an association with Obama as we kind of move forward.
Well, I guess that's what I'm saying too, because at a time where Madigan's entrenched and Rauner's entrenched, and the president's coming here, it really is an extension of what he said in the State of the Union, including admitting that he's failed at bringing the two sides together.
Yeah.
You know, he's basically saying what Rauner and Madigan maybe don't want to hear, and that's that we all should play nice and figure out a deal here.
Right. And it's, you're right. And they don't necessarily want to hear it. I don't know if, you know, it's interesting. Will this, I mean, a lot of people are looking at the speech wondering if it's going to actually have any effect at all, whether it's really just, in a way, serving Obama best. Is it going to have any kind of effect?
It's kind of what it feels like, right? It's just a legacy trip.
Right. No, that's true. I mean, it's in today's playbook, actually, it's interesting. We have quotes from the mayor of Springfield who's actually hoping that it's, you know, that city's completely broke because it's yawning under all this money that the state owes it, as many agencies and cities are in the state. I think that's kind of a thin hope. I don't know if it's really going to have any sort of effect other than people really, you know, are very interested in the speech. They still like Obama in the state, and it's whether he can move the, you know, things forward here in Springfield. In a way, it's kind of doubtful, but that might just be the cynical journalist side of me.
If you go to Politico.com and search the Illinois Playbook, Mark and our friend Natasha Kerecki keep you up to date on all the machinations, failed aspirations, and other things that end in I-O-N-S that happen in the state of Illinois. Where will you be today when he makes his speech?
I'll be watching. I'll be watching and streaming online in a bunch of different places. So I'm in Chicago, but I'll be watching here.
All right, Mark, I appreciate you jumping on. Thanks for the help.
Steve, thanks so much for having me.
Take care. And again, it's Politico.com. We will carry the speech live this afternoon, and then it's more Bill and Wendy in part two. And Bill and Wendy's analysis will be just as confused as I am.